There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to the Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of Sports Drink Network. This is Tom coming to you from the D.C. Outpost. Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost. It is June 13th, 2023. Sorry for the hiatus. You know, life got in the way, but we didn't want to leave any more time before we got to our loyal fan base here. There are some things going on. We just finished, wrapped up OTAs and are embarking, what, today, Nick?
Today.
On mandatory minicamp?
Mandatory minicamp, and I actually just saw a story right before we got on here regarding the Buffalo Bills and how Stephon Diggs, who was whining after they lost in the playoffs once again this year, somehow finding a way to blame it on Josh Allen, or maybe I misspoke. He found a way to blame it on his career, which is Josh Allen, and he's not at mandatory minicamp because he's unhappy, and allegedly it's not a contract thing. He's just mad. Because apparently going to the Bills with Josh Allen, who's made him famous after being a good receiver in Minnesota and immediately getting blown out of the water and overshadowed in every single way by the guy who they drafted immediately to replace him, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs is mad. And so he's not going to training camp in the middle of the Bills Super Bowl window. And it just makes me happy to not be dealing with that problem right now. You know, no shade of AB or Le'Veon or anybody, but it is hilarious to see how that works and how guys can tank your most glorious moment and how the Steelmen are sliding under the radar right where they need to be. But it is refreshing to see the Steelers not dealing with that after like a four-year period of a story like that every 4 weeks at this time of year, it felt like.
I just want to echo the pleasure I'm taking in having training camp drama that isn't ours.
Yeah, and obviously Stephon Diggs was an awesome receiver before Josh Allen, obviously, but still, it's just, I do relish it, and I remember so much of this show at its inception was dedicated to, well, here it is again, everybody. Every 3 weeks there was something or something else, or Ben said something in the news or whatever it is. And you know what? It's the price of doing business. And when you're doing business as a top five offense in the NFL, it's a worthy cost to pay, price to pay. But luckily, the Steelmen might be able to slip in unnoticed here without that type of drama, starting minicamp today. Now, I will say they start minicamp without something or someone very important in the Steelers world anymore, or the world period.
We just learned, I guess last night, Dan Severn passed away. Long time Pittsburgh Steelers sports media host. He was in radio, newspaper, television. He had his own Pittsburgh famous sports beat. So just a sad time. He passed away from he had diabetes and cancer. Probably
particular memories of him, or this is just yet another Pittsburgh media stalwart and who's, you know, left the earth but left a legacy undoubtedly.
Yeah, I mean he's in the footsteps of Myron Cope naturally. I just actually, thanks for asking me that, because I was thinking about it while we were getting ready for the show. And what I love about Stan is he does seem to be out of the mold of the Pittsburgh media personalities who didn't have their hair on fire. I shouldn't say that about Myron. He often did have his what little hair he had on fire, but sure. He was just, you know, as I was reading the homages to Stan. Everybody was saying he would make us feel better after a loss. He just was a calming influence. I think we largely enjoy that in Pittsburgh. You think about Dale Lawley and Matt Williams and Mike Pursuta. They're almost, to a fault, maybe not boring, but very staid and very even keeled. Stan Saverin was in that mold, and just
right.
We lost him too soon. He was still working up to the end.
And that's a good way to put it. The Steeler way, the Pittsburgh way, is to be somewhat understated or to sort of downplay everything, because overreacting would be, I don't want to say indistinguished, because whatever the blue collar version of indistinguished is, that's what I would say. But Mark Caboli, man, now of world fame, thanks to the glorious Pat McAfee show, Mark Caboli now famous for becoming, quote, a human microwave who kept a Rudy's sub in his cargo shorts pocket at this time last year, all the way through a day of training camp. He was tweeting about Stan, and he was broken up about it. And basically what you described in terms of him being passionate really rang true with Mark Caboli's tweets. Mark, I don't remember exactly what they were, but he said, if anything ever happens in your life, a win or loss, Stan's going to be the first one to text you. He will text you. And so he was the kind of guy who was passionate, and he reached out. And these things are always so sad, but there's that silver lining of happiness, given the fact that look how important this man was and the legacy he left. And that's yet another example of Steeler culture driving into the future. And yes, right now we don't have a lot of divas, because nobody's really earned the right to be a diva. And TJ Watt and Minka and Cam have decided there are no divas, so we're not going to do it. Obviously, look, love George Pickens. Feels like that's an inevitability at some point there. But let's enjoy our time before George Pickens demands a trade in week 7 of this year, if not by next year. Because why? Because he doesn't want to be a Steeler? No, because he's a good wide receiver. And that's what they do. And sometimes even Josh Allen isn't good enough for you. I wonder if Diggs is going to get traded to the Chiefs and be like, Patrick Mahomes, no, I need some love child of Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady all meshed together in their prime, and maybe that guy could get me the ball.
Dude, he has a $70 million guarantee, a four-year, $96 million contract with 70 guaranteed. They're not going to be able to get rid of him.
So what I read very briefly is he's un-get-rid-of-able.
He's un-get-rid-of-able. That makes total sense to
me. Yeah, apparently just where his contract is sitting, it can't happen. It turns me off a lot. Like, Stephon Diggs is such a smart guy, and he's a well-spoken guy, and when he's happy, he's so likable. But he's also so oftentimes demonstrably, angry and, or annoyed and, demanded a trade away from Kirk Cousins, got to play for the Bills. You see him with that famous picture watching the Chiefs celebrate their playoff win over the Bills and stuff like that. It's great. Like, he has that passion, but this is sort of the straw that broke the camel's back for me in terms of we sort of defended you from being diva-y because you put your money where your mouth is and you're such a tough player and you're such a cool guy when you hear him in interviews, but this is so lame to me. Like, what team could you possibly want to go to? I remember hearing him interviewed after the Bills got absolutely annihilated in their playoff game, after they should have lost the Dolphins game to the Skylar Thompson in the first round, but he was defeated because he puts so much work into it. I mean, that guy, like I said, he puts his money where his mouth is. But he just said, I don't know what we can do. Like, I don't know what we can do to get over the hump. And I always found that interesting because I've been saying this about the Bills for the past few years. The Bills remind me of the Packers from the past 10 years, which is that they're an overrated team because they have an all-world quarterback. Where really, when you look at the rest of the teams, their talent on the Bills is they have the quarterback, superstar, Hall of Fame trajectory quarterback. And then they have Stephon Diggs, who would be categorized as a blue chip player. Other than that, they don't have a single blue chip player on the roster. And I know some people want to say that 33-year-old Von Miller was playing like a blue chipper before he got hurt. And I agree, but that was the whole conceit of signing Von Miller was, hey, he's 33. You can't play him that early. The Bills talked about that before the season last year. We want to be careful playing him because he's 33. They played him as if he was 23. He gets injured. Who could have predicted this? And then he's out. And even then, like Vaughn, he's obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer, but blue chip player. I'm talking TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, these guys. I don't know if Von Miller is quite that at this stage of his career, although he might be. Whenever I watch him, I'm always shocked that he's this dominant. But that being said, the Bills don't have the talent on the roster like some of these other teams do. They're very good, but I don't know why Stephon Diggs is confused. Like, what else can we do? I'm like, well, you could sign DeAndre Hopkins. You could have done that. You could have traded for Tyreek Hill. Their biggest hurdle has always been they don't have another elite offensive weapon. And Stephon Diggs is awesome, but he's not Tyreek Hill. And he's not Justin Jefferson. And he's not, you know, Ja'Marr Chase. So he's not even in the upper tier. But receivers are weird. Like anyone would take Stephon Diggs. So it's funny to me that he's confused. I don't know if he's just completely belligerent to that fact or he's so team-focused. I mean, clearly not right now, that he doesn't see the answer that to me has been punching them in the face for 2 or 3 years straight. Like, why don't we get any other competent skill players? And it reminds me of when people would say about Aaron Rodgers, like, can't win the big one. You know, he's got Davante Adams. Okay, yeah, he's amazing. He's got Alan Lazard. He's got Alan Lazard. That's an argument. He's got, you know, somebody else. He's got Bob Tonyan. What? You're just saying the names of the players on the team. These aren't superstars. You're not saying he's got Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. You're just saying the names of the starting players. The reason why we know the names of these players is because Aaron Rodgers throws to them. And then the same thing is true. Hey, we got Dawson Knox in Buffalo. All right. So the 16th best tight end in the league. Like, what are we? That's not a we've got. So, it's the doldrums of the offseason. I didn't mean to go off on that, but it's a very interesting topic to me. I think if the Bills get DeAndre Hopkins, they're escalated to Chiefs and Bengals status, no question. But right now, unless that the new tight end they drafted turns into a superstar immediately, I think they just have a little bit less weaponry to deal with. And I know people would make the argument, hey, the Chiefs don't have the same weaponry they used to. They only have one elite offensive pass catcher. But they have arguably the best play caller in the history of the game. And what do the Bills have? Well, they lost their awesome play caller, Brian Daboll. So you gotta consider the play caller part of the roster as well. We know that in Pittsburgh.
Hey, I gave you a heads up. My job's going to interfere with our podcast, and I've got to jump off here. But I did have one Steelers perspective I wanted to offer, and then you can tear it apart. I don't have a theory. It's just an observation. As like you mentioned before, the Steelers seem to be sneaking up under the radar screen with talent. Although, you know, in Pittsburgh, we've been analyzing and looking at their all these acquisitions through the draft and through free agency and trades. Doesn't it feel like the defense, both chronologically and from a maturity standpoint, are creeping up there? I just did a real quick and dirty back of the envelope. The average age on defense is 26, and I don't have time to go through who the likely starters would be, but somehow that feels like it's approaching 28 or 29. And I mean that, you know, I know Patrick Peterson isn't what he used to be, but we'd prefer to have him there than not. And between him and Cam, they're, you know, sort of the grizzled tooth veterans. It's interesting how the aging or the maturity of the defense, I take to be a positive, because I think these guys are all still, you know, obviously NFL starting worthy players. And it's not as they might have more of a problem with who's going to assert leadership. Although right now it doesn't feel like there's any kind of internecine conflict. So with that, your reaction.
That's a great tee up. Do you want to hop off here and you can listen to my reaction editing the pod later, or?
Yeah, go with that. Apologize to the crew. You're going to do much better listening to Nick than my questionable insights.
That was a great question. That was a great question to tee up here, and I got an answer for sure.
All right.
So Godspeed.
Thank you.
With real life. Bye-bye. Okay. So regarding the advancing age of the defense, I think it all wraps back up into the number one exciting topic for us as Steelers fans that we've been championing on the pod here for a while, which is that it feels like the Steelers over the past 3 or 4 years, while they've been rebuilding, which is what they've been doing when you lose your every single player who starts for you besides like two guys, the number one most exciting thing is the fact that the Steelers clearly have a very specific plan for the type of football team they want to build. They want to build a smash mouth power football team. They're not just taking best player available. Hey, who are we going to get in the draft? I don't know. This guy seems sick. Let's get him. No, they are, I think they based what they wanted to turn their team into off of what they already had. And I think that with the selection of players, obviously you see there's been a big emphasis on personality. Even bringing in the new offensive line coach last year, the big emphasis was we want people that are mean, which was very similar to the Chris Kiamatu Steelers line, the most penalized lineman in the history of the game of football, and that line who won the Super Bowl against the Cardinals. Now, they were bereft. Is that the word? Bereft of talent? We're just going to throw it out there. They weren't very talented, so they had to make up for it by being mean. Well, the Steelers are trying to get some pedigree on that line now instead of just being mean, but they got Najee Harris instead of Etienne when they had the selection of either one of the running backs. Etienne's amazing. I'm sure Tomlin would tell you, oh, yeah, that's a blue-chip type player, but we want the guy who's a power runner, who's going to run people over and who's going to wear defense out. Where it's going to be hard for us to catch up to Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes in these high-flying offenses. Let's bring it down to the middle a little bit more. Similarly to how Tennessee has done it over recent years. Similarly to how Philadelphia has done it. So with the Steelers trying to make that type of team, that power team, I think the fact that their defense is older has to do with both that, having that identity, but also I think it's a realization that NFL windows are very short. They're really only a few years at a time. And then if you have a superstar quarterback, they sort of create an illusion that the window is still open because you're going to go to the playoffs. You're going to win a couple, you're going to win games, and you have like a snowball's chance that the quarterback could just go nuclear and lead you to a Super Bowl or whatever it is. But the windows are only a few years. The Ryan Shazier injury for the Steelers knocked their defensive plans back pretty hardcore, and their inability to figure out the middle linebacker position has been a disaster. And I don't know why the hell they keep letting homegrown cornerback talent out of the building with Mike Hilton and Cam Sutton, but for whatever reason, they've done that. And I think they see themselves in a position where, hey, our window's actually about to open like this year, and we need the defense to be ready. So we are signing veteran players like Levi Wallace, Patrick Peterson, Cole Holcomb, and Landon Roberts. The reason why the age of the defense has gone up so much is because they keep signing old proven players. It's kind of like a Patriots looking model. Larry Ogunjobi signed. You know, Tyson Alualu actually came out with an interview this week saying he'd love to finish his career in Pittsburgh. It's badass. We love Tyson Alualu. That being said, and then obviously Cam's already old, and you know, you turn around, it's like, oh, I guess TJ's 27, 28 years old. Older than we thought he was, but TJ's the man. So I think they want veteran people in there because they've had some misses on defense. Devin Bush was a tremendous miss. Everybody else they tried to fill in there. This was a last resort, having to sign guys like Landon Roberts and Cole Holcomb. So I do think that one of the reasons why the defense is so old is because they hadn't been able to keep a defense together, but they know, and then they had to use all their resources in the draft on offense, and they did so wisely. Like, they've built a really nice roster together. They got their quarterback, hopefully, and now it's time to rock and roll with this offense that's barely under any big contracts, and you have a quarterback on a rookie contract, so you're able to go spend this money, and all of the players that they've signed on the defensive side of the ball have all either been star players when they were younger or just extremely consistent role player starters. like the middle linebackers and Levi Wallace. So that will also enable the Steelers to emphasize another part of the personality that I think they're trying to make, which is having a smart and sophisticated and tricky and annoying defense. I think the Steelers want to get back to smash mouth football on the offensive side of the ball and exotic looks on the defensive side of the ball that is bolstered by Pro Bowl and All-Pro type edge rushers, a pair of them, and All-Pro safety. Sounds familiar? It is eerie how similar it is to the beginning of Ben's career with Harrison and Woodley and Troy Polamalu, and having all of these other veteran role players who are smart players will enable the Steelers and Mike Tomlin to move Minka Fitzpatrick around more. It will enable the Steelers to run more exotic looks, and I think that that's what they're looking to do. So, very interesting point brought up by Papa Tom there. Thank you, Papacito. Appreciate that. And with that, we're going to close up the podcast. That's something cool to think about. Hit us up on Twitter, Steelers Outpost, SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Until next week, until action, until football starts very soon, go Steelers.